We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
It's like a fake out.
Yeah.
Two fake out.
Not so much anymore.
Who was that?
That was Rewards featuring Blood Orange.
Awesome.
And he and his trusty bandmates will be joining us for live in studio session a little bit later on in the program.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
We are back from South by Southwest. I can guess who your favorite person was.
Who?
Palika.
Palicia.
I thought it was.
No, I mean, they said on stage it was that. Anyway, I'm going to play a track from them.
Is this the last track of the album?
It is indeed.
Yes, it's great. It's their show ender. It's great. We had a great time. I also loved J.C. Watson and the Uptown Sound and a whole bunch of stuff. Good year this year.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was way more mellow, but a lot more music.
Yes, but joining us first, we have three of the wonderful people from Little Neck and Gowanus. Little Neck, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi. How you doing?
Hello.
Why don't we go around the horns and introduce who you are and what you do and your favorite type of bivalve, if you will.
Aaron, owner.
Yep.
Kumamoto Oysters.
Okay.
Well played.
Joe, chef. Little Neck. Little Neck Clam.
Appropriate.
Appropriate.
Miriam, line cook, the Lawrence Welk.
All right. And we're going to ask the hardest hitting question right now. Should oysters ever be cooked?
Yes.
Virginia oysters, because they're tasteless.
Okay.
Rockefeller.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Is that your favorite preparation for?
Yeah, definitely. A Rockefeller.
It's so decadent. It really is.
Lots of bacon and spinach.
I know. It's awesome. It's like, that's the best part, and then you get the oyster surprise underneath.
Well, yeah, you get vegetable.
Of course.
And then bacon.
Protein.
And then oyster.
And saline. Crunchy.
Incredibly. Don't forget
the crunch.
Yes. So let's take a little step back. For those who don't know what Little Neck is, what is Little Neck the restaurant?
Little Neck is a seafood restaurant in the Gowanus neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
It's an oyster bar. We serve, but it's more than an oyster bar. We serve all sorts of food. Lobster rolls, clam rolls, chowders, burgers.
And it's amazing that you harvest 90% of your seafood from the Gowanus Canal.
Oh, yeah. I actually hold Joe over the bridge.
Awesome.
On Union Street. I hold him by his ankles, and we lower him down, and he has a net. And, you know, because they're very good filters.
Oh,
they're filter
great.
Feeders.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just dumped 4 million of them to clean up the Gowanus Canal, and that's it.
Well, it really has lowered our unit cost significantly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Except on Wednesday, I get my waders, and
nice.
I go in. The bridge on Carroll Street, you can actually probably walk on the sandbar.
Oh, yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah,
it's
lovely.
I mean, just waiting, doing some oyster harvesting, going on the canal at sunset.
Do you know he found a gooey duck in there the other day?
No, you did not.
No, you did not.
No, you did not.
Swear to God. I saw a duck floating on the Gowanus Canal the other day.
Covered in goo.
Well, no, actually, no. Not covered in goo, but then it got out, and it had human feet. It walked out with human feet.
But, you know, it's... So, Little Neck, it's an interesting start, because before you guys started the restaurant, you had... How much restaurant experience?
I had none.
Never any, right? Never like a McDonald's.
When I was in high school, I worked at a pizza shop, mostly selling weed. But
awesome, that cheese pizza will be $65.
Did your boss know it was a front?
Ostensibly, I was hired as a dishwasher, and then I was making sandwiches, and then I was delivering the pizza. And that's when the other business really sprouted and took off.
Did you ask who brought up first? Was it your customers, or was it you who were like, "Hey, if you also want weed, I can deliver you weed and pizza"?
No, they were two totally separate pursuits. But at some point, when I was delivering the pizza,
it's great.
It was the perfect confluence of opportunity and.
I'm already in the car.
Yeah,
I'm already in the car. I'm already driving around. I've got a whole bunch of pizza.
Did you have a 30 minutes or less guarantee?
Yes.
Yikes. So you had no experience. You guys had, and now you were both the cook and the chef. Did you have you had previous food experience, right?
Well, yeah. No, I come from a cooking family.
Okay.
What type of food?
French mostly, but a lot of background in seafood. So
though you proclaim Jewishness to me out there.
Yes,
French Jewish.
Well, when you come from
latkes,
when you come from Alsace, you have to eat pork or you die.
Right? Because
there's no other food.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to justify to us. We ate ribs all last week and there.
Ribs are also delicious.
What's like the what's the go to mom or grandma or granddad? Who is the cook?
My grandfather.
What was like grandpa's signature dish?
Oh, the chicken and beer with bacon.
Explain.
Well, you take a chicken.
Yep, go on.
You brown the chicken. You add a little bacon. You deglaze with beer. You let it stew. And that's it.
What's the beer?
Pilsner.
I once convinced, when I was in college, my roommate to cook his steak in Natty Ice. Because I was like, oh yeah, cooking with beer,
I love Natty Ice on the rocks.
Yeah.
On the rocks, but not... It does the
Not
that,
good in the steak.
Not good in the steak. Good in the steak. He was. We had like no money. He was so pissed.
And Miriam, you used to cook in Roberta's, right?
No, I cooked at Babbo, actually, with one of the Roberta's cooks, Megan. So
Babbo, that must have been awesome.
It was terrifying.
Was it terrifying?
Yeah.
Any horror stories?
Countless.
Give us one.
There was this one time on Easter when Mario and Emeril were probably tripping, and they're hanging out with Joaquin Phoenix, and I walked in on him in the bathroom, and yeah, saw his wiener, and then he followed me into the kitchen to, like, apologize, and I was like, go away.
Is this sans beard Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah, but his penis had a beard.
Yeah, it was trippy.
As does mine.
As does everyone's. So you guys had a combined total of zero restaurant experience when you started the thing.
Well, Andy, my partner, and I had a combined total of... I think he worked at a Wendy's when he was high school.
So you had some idea of what people came in, had money, ordered food, you gave food,
yeah, took their money. Yeah, we had the basics down, the transaction for food, and I think we just got far enough along with the idea that we couldn't turn back or we'd look like assholes.
Because the really interesting part about your story is you actually used Kickstarter.
We did use Kickstarter. It was partially funded. It was a small... very small portion of what we actually needed to open the place. But we, the Kickstarter did a lot better than I thought it was going to do. It, you know, got picked up by a whole bunch of, you know, by a whole bunch of websites and stuff. And all of a sudden, I thought it would just be our friends that, you know, could kick us $50 or whatever. But it turned into, you know, all sorts of people all over the place that we didn't even know were, you know, giving us money and were really supportive of what we were doing.
That's so amazing. So how far did you get into the process before you realized, like, oh, we're going to need an infusion of cash? Let me go back even further than that. What was the tipping point that it went from an idea to an actual reality?
I mean, I guess the tipping point was we were both kind of fed up with what we were doing with our lives and kind of running out of other options. And we had this idea and we started looking for spaces and we, you know, had this idea over a barbecue and we kind of whittled it down till it was actually something that was for real. And then, you know, we started looking at places and we signed a lease on a place. And
that's a scary moment.
He had bought a house that was a foreclosure at the Jersey Shore and he gut renovated it himself and was going to use it as a summer rental. And so he was like, oh yeah, I just renovated this house. I have all these tools. So we're like, oh yeah, we can totally just build this restaurant. It'll be easy. And yeah, we got the space, and then we're like, all right, we can't turn back now. We have a lease.
Yeah, no. I mean, sometimes you need that moment where you go, there's no turning back.
Or sometimes you just got to kick it out the door and then, like, kind of go from there.
Well, you know, it was really hard. Building it was the hardest thing I had ever done. And, you know, I mean, it's hard just to get the city to turn the gas on for you. But, you know, at the end of it, it was not as hard as I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be a lot more red tape and a lot more...
Well, you're also in an area that is looking, I would say, to promote businesses like yours, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an easy community board around there, so there's no static. If you want to, you know, if you go for a liquor license, nobody's going to give you a hard time.
They're like, oh, thank God, another place we can drink.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we get back. I really want to get into the food.
I'm going to talk about your network of suppliers as well. Not the legal ones. Not the ones you talked about from here.
The illegal ones, you mean? Yes, we can talk about that.
So anyways, so this is Little Neck talking to us about what it takes. You guys make opening a restaurant sound so easy. It's like, have an idea, find a moderate, desirable location and open it.
Well, there's a little bit more to it than that, but yeah, that's basically what we did.
All right, well, let's get into that when we get back, all right?
This is the Polisa. They're actually playing this Sunday at Brooklyn Bowl, which is also the same night as your new cooking show.
Oh, yes. Reinventing the Meal with Richard Blaze, premiering April 2nd at 8 p.m. on Cooking Channel.
So this is Leading to Death.
Oh,
This song is so good.
Yeah, not enough time to slam pizza, though. It's like only 2.5 minutes.
You can slam. I got through a slice.
I got through a slice.
I just love seeing the song live with the two drummers and they're banging it out.
Yeah, you can do it on Sunday.
Sunday I'm going to be...
You stay up, he's like...
All right, we are back.
We are back. That was a little talk out of the track. Nice. So we have the crew from Little Neck Inn, from lovely Gowanus. And so when we were leaving last out, you said that opening a restaurant is not as easy as just having an idea, doing a Kickstarter, raising some money, things like that. What were some of the pratfalls you ran into?
I mean, we had a lot of rookie mistakes. You know, we didn't know the questions to ask the landlord.
Like what?
You know, just things with various city bureaucracies and, I mean, even what size gas line is going into the building.
Right.
So there's a lot of questions that, you know, the next time around I know to ask. But, I mean, we thought we could just find a space and open a space. But there was no rookie mistakes that we made that we didn't recover from.
Okay. Was there any at point where you're like, I'm sorry, that chili oil just wrecked me. Was there any point where you were just like, I don't know if we can do this?
There were a lot of points like that. I mean, our landlord is sort of not the...
Is he a Brooklyn landlord?
He's like a kind of a Goomba, kind of like a low-level... It's kind of like a low-level wise guy. And he was supposed to do a lot of stuff on the space, and he just wasn't... You know, wasn't abiding by the lease, and you know, we had to replace the entire roof on the back section where our kitchen is. You know, it was completely rotted. You know, the joists were falling in, so there was a lot of stuff like that.
And you're saying this place was available?
The place was available. The place was very available, and you know, so there's a lot of points like that where it's just like pulling my hair out and screaming. But
You have good partners to pull your hair out with and scream with?
Yes. We did a lot of screaming, mostly sometimes at each other, but mostly just out loud.
As a man who works with the guy sitting across from him, sometimes you just have no one else to scream at.
Yeah, sometimes you just need somebody to scream at or scream to.
Yeah, but you guys got through it and you guys are doing well now?
Yeah, now that the place is open, it's the greatest thing we ever did. But you know, getting there was kind of hard. The construction was really hard. I think the first little while of realizing what all we never thought about and that went into running the place. But I think we kind of got, you know, we got the hang of it. We had to, you know, we were very short staffed for a long time. And I think it took a few months to realize, you know, what our needs were and how we needed to structure everything. But I mean, we've gotten it to the point now where I think it's running smoothly. You know, we have great people in our kitchen.
I mean,
two of them are sitting here with me.
So yeah, let's talk about the kitchen. Let's talk about the food. So what's the theory behind it? You know, a lot of people are, you know, oyster bars are so in fashion now, but you guys open up more of like a clam shack, right? More of like a New England styled type of restaurant.
I mean, it's sort of like our take on the, you know, the roadside fluorescent lit, you know, clapboard clam shacks. But I mean, that was like our take, and that was sort of what we riffed on. And Andy and I both kind of, yeah, we had traveled a lot through the area. We had played in some bands together, so we had...
Oh, yeah, what bands?
We played in a band called the Electric Shadow.
Okay.
Lots of bands of little to no regard. But, you know, we had, like, traveled through the area a lot.
Enough to see and eat in some places where you wouldn't normally go.
Yeah, and so we... and, you know, his whole family is from Massachusetts, and he's from the Jersey Shore, and we kind of... You know, we kind of knew what we were riffing on, and, you know, but we... And we had a couple staple items that we wanted to do, and it could have gone...
Such as
the clam roll, which we've obviously gotten a lot of attention for, and the steamer clams, which, you know, that was sort of the impetus for everything. We were having a barbecue in his girlfriend's backyard, and we were making steamer clams, and we were like, you know, we could do this. You know, I'm not happy with what I'm doing, you're not happy with what you're doing.
What was your previous life?
Oh, I had... I worked in a record store for a long time.
Okay.
I worked in the book publishing world. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a lot of Joe jobs. Nothing you'd call a career.
What is the proper way to eat a steamer?
Well, I hold it by the foot.
The little black thing, right?
The black thing. You know, some people call it the foot. Some people call it the... some people call it... It kind of looks like a foreskin.
Yeah.
And I actually hold it by that.
Being Jewish, I wouldn't know what that looks like. Am I right, Chef? All right, Chef.
I have a foreskin, so I'm
sorry. And he's Jewish.
And I'm Jewish. I'm half my family is of Puerto Rican descent.
Okay.
So
They're very proud of their foreskins.
Yeah, we love our foreskins.
Apparently it helps to, what, now purge them in cornmeal these days?
Yeah, my foreskin was actually purged in cornmeal.
I purge it in cornmeal every day.
All right, so going back to eating.
We're obviously getting off topic. Who took us here?
Who took us
here? Who took us here?
Okay, so
don't listen back.
I hold it by the foot, and I give it a good dunk in the broth.
This is the clam, right?
This is the clam. Okay, yes. Just
making sure we're on track.
All right. The clam, which is loaded with its own connotations, but we won't go there. I hold it by the foot, and I give it a good dip in the broth, and then a good dip in the butter, and I eat it, and I just leave the foot behind.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of
the first time I ate them, I was like, I keep getting a mouthful of grit, and I was like, I'm doing it wrong.
Well, that like foot, you know, there's like a sack in there, and that's where they keep all the sand.
Yeah.
So no matter how much you purge it, there's still going to be some sand in there. But we also had a problem for a long time with our steamers being too gritty. I think we finally found a way to purge them where you get most of the grit out.
Because they're amazing, but they're I would say that they're at the intermediate level of seafood eating.
It's an acquired taste.
Sometimes people get it and they have no idea what it was that they ordered.
But they're so good. They're so creamy.
Yes.
So where do you guys get your seafood from?
All around. It depends on who's got it fresh.
All reputable purveyors.
Yeah, we like to, we try and get from the cream of the New York seafood purveyors. Wild Edibles, Peerless, Two Cousins out in Long Island who gets a lot of their stuff off Montauk.
And how was it being a new restaurant, like setting up the supply chains, and having almost no connections or experience from before?
Well, the people that we have working with us have a lot of connections and a lot of experience. So Andy and I didn't have a lot of connections per se, but we did surround ourselves with very talented and very knowledgeable people that were able to pick up the slack for the things that we didn't know. I mean, now obviously we know where to go for this. But I think a lot of it rested on who we surrounded ourselves with.
I mean, that's really the success of any new project is surrounding yourself by a good team and then knowing when you have to step back and say, I just don't know. I'm willing to learn, but I just need to trust the people that are around me.
I mean, I think we did that in the kitchen. Obviously we have Joe and Miriam and, they've both brought a lot of knowledge and a lot of, expertise, and they're both very talented. And all the people in the front of the house too, we have a few people, we have some people that are just like really know how to run a tight ship. So
is that a pun?
Yes.
It's not really a good pun.
It's seafood.
It's like a C minus pun.
Yeah. I'd make you retract your question.
That C minus pun though is a better pun. Think about it.
Okay.
So it's a little esoteric.
So let's talk about the thing that really got you on the roll, on the map, which is the clam roll. Let's talk about the idea behind that and, and getting what it was like to see your name in the Times. That
was a shock the day I opened up the New York Times and my name was the first thing in the dining section. And,
that's what you show to everyone who ever doubted you and you go, see?
Yeah. Yeah. I do have a massive inferiority complex and I've always been like, I'm going to show all of you. So,
look, New York Times is the perfect way to just prove everyone wrong.
Yes. So I proved everyone wrong.
Beautiful.
I could finally show something to my mother and be like, look, see, because before that we we were the Clam Shack of the Week on the Narragansett website. So up until that point,
family, that's like, winning an Oscar.
So, yeah, but see, all up until that point, I could only show that to my mother, and then I was like, see, I'm in the New York Times now. This was a good idea.
That's awesome.
But, the full belly clam roll, it's something that's, we would go to a clam shack on right off of Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center in Long Island. Mm-hmm. I have some family that lives out there, and Andy and I would, we'd go out to my uncle's house for some family get together, and we'd stop at this place, Bigelow's, on the way back.
Okay.
And I think that was the closest place to the city that we knew that was really doing this, doing like the fried full belly clams right. And we're like, yeah, well, we'll have the clam roll. We'll be really totally traditional with it. Da 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 da. And I guess, you don't have to do you don't have to do 1,000 things right, but if you have like one thing that you really do well, and I think we perfected that sandwich in our minds. We got it to what we thought was a really awesome sandwich, and we've gotten a lot of notice for it.
Add it to the list. I mean, we've had a running. What you said is like in previous episodes, it's a running commentary. You get one dish or one thing done, and maybe it's because it's New York or the good New York area that like people will travel for just like one thing, and you can build a business off of that, and then you can take that mentality and apply it to other things, and it's how you. So it's
you look at like New York magazine or something like that that features eight Rubens or something like that, you know, and if you're the one place that does something very well and you get known for that, people travel.
I mean, we got noticed. You know, Time Out put us on a list of the 20 best new burgers in New York. And, you know, we do have those items that are our signature items.
What's your burger like?
It's, like, really good.
I know, but come on.
It was me and the London Meat Company.
Okay.
It's the last of the meat companies in the meatpacking district. It's on Little West 12th Street. And me and one of the sales reps, we'd done business before, and we came up with a blend together.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of want it to be, like, the exact opposite of the Shake Shack blend, you know, because like everyone knows the Shake Shack blend, everyone knows Pat LaFreda. It's like, it's nice, it's juicy, it's salty, but I wanted something like, if you ever like see an old Junior's menu, they're like, oh, it's our steak burger, you know, but it's just chopped meat, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it's so juicy, it's like a steak. So I wanted to come up with something like that where it would be like, you know, we put some brisket in, we put some shoulder in, both Angus, and then there's always like a ton of strip steak trimmings lying around with a lot of fat and a little bit of meat and just grind that up and throw it in there with it.
Nice.
So it actually comes out with like a little bit more of an intense meaty flavor than you normally get.
Awesome. And then what other, you know, and then we'll wrap it up, but what other menus items would not one expect?
Well, you know, beyond that, I think that, you know, a lot of people obviously get hooked in because of the clam roll or the lobster roll. Or the steamers.
Well, skate's big.
And, you know, we've been doing skate, which is going out of season now, so we'll replace that with something else. But, you know, we have daily specials, and a lot of them, I'm so impressed that, you know, we could have gone either way with this and had, like, hot dogs and lobster rolls. But, you know, I think because of the people that we've been working with that have been in our kitchen, you know, who have a lot of really great ideas, we've been able to, you know, kind of have an elevated cuisine with the specials. For instance, Miriam came up, we took a duck breast and we smoked it. We cured it and smoked it like a ham, and she came up with a duck breast or a duck ham sandwich yesterday. Oh, nice. Joe came up with a mussel special. We used spicy Italian sausage from the meat hook, and he did a chacrut, and you know, the Village Voice said we reinvented the dish. So I think that, you know, the specials are actually, I'm hoping that people will come in just for the specials because they change daily, and I think we're doing a creative take on this kind of food with just like loosely using the Clam Shack thing as a reference point, but really kind of taking it beyond that.
Well, it's really lovely that Aaron and Andy have allowed, you know, all of us to just to, you know, experiment and still be very deferential to Little Neck and the classic, you know, items on the menu, but. Joe is amazing at, you know, coming up with wacky specials.
I try not to use more than five or six ingredients.
I think that's good. You just got a cornucopia smorgasbord of disaster.
I mean, if I have some nice produce, I just want five great ingredients and not 15 mediocre ingredients. But every chef will tell you that. So
yeah,
it's like
we know that,
and that's where food truly gets to shine.
Yeah, when you're just using the best of the best.
Of course.
Well, thank you guys so much. What are all the nuts and bolts if we want to come visit, if we want to follow you on the web or net?
We have Twitter. It's at LittleNeckBK. We have a website. It's LittleNeckBrooklyn.com. We're at 288 3rd Avenue between Carroll and President Street in the Gowanus neighborhood.
Closest train stop is?
The F train or the G train at Carroll Street.
Okay.
Or the R train at Union.
Oh, I know that stop.
All right.
Yeah, well,
thanks for joining us.
That's all I got.
Stop. Thanks, guys.
That's your stop.
We'll come see you this summer.
Awesome. We'll come see you sooner than the summer. One last question. How many hours, how many days you put in a week?
It's a full-time endeavor for me. Yeah. I mean, I'm there working every single day, and when I'm not there, I'm still thinking about it. I'm still thinking about ways to make it better. Ways to make it work.
Yeah. All right. Well, Little Neck BK, thank you guys for spending time with us.
Thank you.
We got enough time to chat on this pizza now?
We do. So we're going to play a couple tracks or two of the bands that we saw that we really loved at South By. The first one is Kindness from the UK, and the other one is Pawn from Australia. And then we're going to have Rewards in the studio playing live. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network. Oh, and congratulations to Heritage Radio for We're becoming a nonprofit.
Hey-o.
And, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Start making donations now.
And yeah. Breaking the half a million listeners.
I thought it was half a billion.
It's not half.
Billions.
This is just, yeah.
That's a lot of listeners.
That's a lot of listeners. All right, here we go.
Swinging party down the line.
Woo! Pond. You broke my cool.
You know, the thing is, the one of the best things I saw at South By was their performance on the first night we were there, and nothing sort of was as good as that.
I saw things that were as good as that. But
Oh, really?
Yeah, set the bar high. We want to welcome Rewards to the studio. Welcome. Do you guys want to go around the room and just kind of shout your names?
Travis. I'm Travis. Hi.
Hi, Travis.
Hey.
I've brought my friend Diane here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
This is Diane. I'm Aaron. And
John.
John.
It's pretty good. This is one of the more, like, you know, over-the-top setups that we've seen, just considering how small it is. I didn't want to say no to you when you wrote me about, like, what can we do? I was like, yeah, we can do a keyboard and some other things. So,
did I overdo it?
No, you just, I mean, doesn't it not look totally perfect? It looks like, you know.
It looks great in here.
Yeah. Nothing like using the turntables as a stand for something just to really show how far away we've moved from DJ sets in this show. But welcome to the show. Do you want to give a little background on the history of the band?
I mean, there's really the history of this band is just changes a lot.
Yeah.
It's
fair.
What is that buzzing?
What is that buzzing?
Oh, just the keyboard. Just getting ready.
Someone's phone's on. Totally busted.
Sorry about
that. So the history of the band's organic, evolving.
Yeah, it's just it changes a lot. It's really just Rewards. Really, is just whatever Rewards is when Rewards is here in front of you, which is what it is right now.
Okay. So, really, you know, interviewers are like give and take, and you say something. And go, oh, that's interesting. Let me go off of that. But no, but I mean, I've seen you in different incarnations. I know that. Aaron lives in the same building as us, and I know that Emily, who is how we met, who was our roommate, like introduced me. She was in the band for a while too, right?
Well, she came on tour with me for I opened for Brandon Flowers like 2 years ago.
How was that? Okay, so I also saw that you were on tour with We Are Scientists, who was actually in here before, and Keith is awesome.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So how was that with something? It's a little bit closer to you know. What do you like about life?
What do I like about life?
No, I'm saying We Are Scientists. Life. Yeah, no, I'm saying, but like, how I was touring with We Are Scientists and Warpaint, like, how did you take something that is ever-changing on tour? How did you, like, pick a pause spot and be like, all right, this is what we're going to take out to the road?
I didn't really choose anything. I just kind of went with what was happening.
Okay. Why don't we hear a song to kind of like wrap the heads around, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome. Love a little egg shaker. I didn't even see you pull it out. A little secret weapon right there.
Secret weapon.
Like a magician's coat.
So I'm curious about your collaboration process, because you work in so many, you know, from one to five or two or three or four. And
yeah.
The songs that you have out have, you know, Dev and Solange on there, which obviously, if you've been paying attention, they've been running together. But, you know, how does your songwriting process, you know, incorporate other people or instrumentation when you're writing a song? Is this like what you see is set up, like guitar, slide guitar, two keyboards, egg shaker? I mean, that's like a really big decision. So how do you...
I've never played in this configuration before. This was just when you asked me to come in, just sort of like, what happened? John's been playing with me for a couple years, I guess. And we work on remixes together as well. And Travis has also been playing with me off and on. And I've never played with Diane before.
Oh, so, well, welcome.
This is special.
Yeah, this is really awesome. I don't think it's too often you can document like the first time you ever played with somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad this is a part of it. So what are your... how would you say your remixes, you know, kind of fit into the whole rewards world? Are they different? Do you like let the... are you of the mind that like you take the reward sound and you apply it to the remix? Or are you... You know, you see a remix and you kind of give it like, you know, the extra things that you would, you know, think that it might need?
I sort of just see remixes as like a playground of just musical fun. I mean, you guys yeah. do remixes too, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't.
I mean, we definitely really when you know, when Punches approached it, and when Alan, you know, kind of takes a remix, it's very much like, this is the Punches sound. It's disco. It's horns. It's strings. Like, how do we compress the vocal into this? But I don't know if that's always, you know, the best way or the most appropriate way for every type of remixer.
Yeah. John and I just did a School of Seven Bells remix that I like ended up being sort of like a MDMA thing at the end of it. It started out like total like normal drinking chamomile tea, and then like the end of it got
real bouncy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But isn't that the great thing about music, where it can just sort of meander and find its natural voice?
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess so with remixes, I like to just be weird.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Explore fantasy.
I think just... You should have just enough of the song in there that it's recognizable.
Yeah.
Because I never liked remixes that are just like, oh, we took two notes and half a word, and it just sounds something else. Like, you should use the best elements of songs and make it a new song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still recognizable.
Yeah.
Like, in some way.
Yeah.
To be.
Someone said the end of that one sounded like the end of Revenge of the Nerds, where they have the, like, finale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With the
electric violin.
Yeah. They said it sounded like that. I was. Really,
I think that's flattered. The biggest compliment. Yeah, that's a big
totally
compliment.
Flattered, yeah.
Anytime that your remix can get compared to, like, a seminal 80s movie is.
Yeah.
It's like that scene at the end of Back to the Future, you know, that vibe when he's riffing on the guitar.
Speaking of your own music, you have a single coming out this summer.
I had a single come out last summer.
Oh, last summer, sorry.
Which was the song with Devin's.
Yeah, that we opened with.
Yeah.
And how was it like joining up with like DFA, and you know, how did that come about?
Just naturally.
Okay.
just naturally,
yeah.
Like you're in a bar, like, and like you order a shot, and John Galkin was like, "Hey, like I like what you're drinking, and by the way, do you happen to make music?" Like, yes, that's pretty natural.
So I met Justin Miller,
mm-hmm.
Love J Mills.
Yeah, you guys did a show with him here, right? Which obviously,
sometimes we forget.
I met him in Vermont.
That is okay.
So
a natural setting.
We played a.
You're tapping sugar, right?
Yeah, we were tapping sugar. No, we played a show. I used to be in chairlift,
mm-hmm.
and we played a chairlift show opening for MGMT. And Justin Miller was DJing a house party in Burlington, and we went, and I met him there.
Okay,
he came back to our hotel. You know, things happened. And
I mean, okay, that is pretty natural. Yeah, yeah. You all right?
Okay,
you
there you go.
You totally nailed it.
Isn't Burlington awesome?
Natural.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. Burlington is one of those.
I'm serious, dude.
Like, it's really, really awesome city. It's one of those cities where if I was ever sort of done with New York, I would just be like, all right, let's just go to Burlington.
Burlington, that's your like, I'm done, I'm packing it up.
It's really, really awesome. There's like amazing food,
hey,
nature.
Jack, please put Burlington in keywords for searching this show.
No, yeah. I mean, you've been there.
Just so I
How much time have you spent in Burlington?
Enough.
Enough.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are naturally retiring from New York and the scene and moving to Burlington. We don't even have to retire from the scene. Start a whole new scene.
Yeah, apparently Burlington there's house parties.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe let's finish 2012 here, 2013.
Yeah, isn't that what they say for the Jewish New Year and in the New Year in Burlington?
I don't think so.
Should we hear another song?
Yeah, let's rip another tune. Well, I don't know if rip another tune is saying. Let's Space Cowboy.
Yeah, let's groove out on another tune.
Space Cowboy, another song. You are listening to Rewards live on Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio. Network.com, soon to be .org.
Thank you.
practiced, or is this your first time sitting in a room together?
You guys ate all the pizza, by the way.
We got pizzas coming for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. First off, not our first radio show.
Could be our first, but it's our first space radio.
This is the first space radio. And we've also have learned, and tell me if I'm wrong, that most performers don't like to eat, especially pizza that creates mucus before they sing.
Yes. And so instead of having you eat cold pizza, we would wait and do hot pizza. But hey, if you want us to go throw it in the fridge for a little bit, we can...
You guys are... So...
So talk to me about the parties you've been throwing for the last 3 years as our next door neighbors. Is that you?
Yeah, the wild parties.
Oh my God. Just so you know,
you guys are always invited, by the
way. We share different walls with the same neighbors who have epic, annoying, like 12-hour ragers that are, you know, if you've ever gone over there, it's five people passed out with like the music so loud.
I've never been over there.
I've been over there.
Do they listen to your show?
No.
Okay, so we can just talk about it.
If they do, what, I'm going to lose half that smile? They give me like the most like...
I don't know, I like Ash. Greeting. Anyway, we're not here to talk about it.
Just, I had to...
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. We got Rewards live in studio.
What's the...
Snacky Tunes, Rewards, Diane Birch.
What's the summer, spring looking for you guys? Because this seems like pretty great spring summer music, like making out on like a blanket, like in the park.
I love to make out in parks on the sweet blankets in spring.
All right, maybe you guys can put that into your like little Vermont plan.
Dude, don't just because you weren't invited.
I don't want to come.
Yeah.
So I know you're going on tour with Tan Lines.
Going on tour in Tan Lines, April.
Who, if you haven't heard their new record, which came out this or last week?
Yeah,
last week.
It's awesome.
Tan Lines.
They're killing it.
Yeah.
They're really. I keep. You know. One of the. You know, Eric works like Mondays as an archivist and can't. I'm like Mondays. He's like still. You know. He has a responsibility, which I respect the responsibility, but I'd like to bring him on the show. So. So where are you guys going on tour?
Just North America, ish.
Oh, just that place. That's cool. I've been there.
This place.
And what's the makeup of the band? Is it?
We're not playing in Vermont though.
Oh.
Cancel the tour?
Might have to cancel
the tour. I mean, that's as your non-business manager or agent, I would say cancel the tour. As your Burlington advisor.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Imogene, who...
Let's just shout out Imogene for a second.
Let's just say,
is she managing you?
Everybody?
Woo! She's a big fan, and who knows?
Imogene.
Yeah. But
best backwards.
Anyway, so what's the incarnation? Is it going to be the four here?
Imogene.
Is it going to be one person, two people?
I think it's going to be...
A merry band of pranksters?
It's going to be a trio of pranksters.
Okay. Everyone but Diane?
Jeez. Unless I just happen to be in the same town.
Naturally happen to be in the same town? Oh, hey.
She might make an appearance here and there.
When's the New York show?
April 12th at Bowery Ballroom.
I'll be out west, but you should go.
Can I come?
Yes.
I'm going to bring my Burlington Pride shirt.
I will make sure Imogene gets you in.
Oh, thanks, Imogene.
So we got just a little bit more time. I'd like to get one more song. First off, thank you all for joining us. Can you give us like the how to find Rewards on the internet? Because I don't think if you just type Rewards...
What's the Googleability on that name?
I think that was part of the idea, was making it at first hard to find online.
I appreciate it. As long as it's conscious.
There's a lot of bands we talked to. Was like credit card rewards. Can't find these guys.
So if people did want to find you...
They could find it by just Aaron Finning.
Spell that.
Which is my name. A-A-R-O-N.
Space. Like Space Cowboy.
Underscore. P-F-E-N-N-I-N-G.
Yeah, you definitely have to spell that.
And
that P silent, I knew if you knew that.
Yeah, I guess the best way to find it is just a Google image search.
It's radio.
Really?
Wait, a Google image search?
Shopping search.
Oh.
Sorry. for the album? For the single?
For the single, sorry. You should just go to DFA Records.
Yeah, start there.
.com.
Start at DFA.
And naturally find yourself.
Yeah. Or if you happen to see us, you can probably guess that Aaron lives somewhere
close
by.
Dude, I'm sorry. I haven't had anything to eat today.
Oh, we should...
Get ready for pizza.
Yeah, get ready for
za.
Piping hot pizza.
Piping hot za with extra cheese.
But we're gonna play this song that I haven't played in like 3 years.
Awesome.
So,
Awesome. And so check him out if you live in the New York area, which I'm sure most of you listeners do, on the 12th of April. And
thanks for listening. We have Moon Hooch live next week. Moon Hooch, they're like a busking band. It's like two alto saxes and a drummer. It's gonna be
epic. We have asked them. We've notoriously been turned down by buskers, with the exception of Moon Hooch and Freelance Wales.
Yeah, every other busker is like not thought radio was like a viable option.
I guess you don't get any reception in most of the subway stations. I guess they feel like their demographic would never listen.
Oh, I just saw your website come up on there. So Jack found it.
All right. So thank you so much, and please check out Richard Blaze, Reinventing the Meal, Sunday 8 p.m. Cooking Channel. And hey, happy birthday. We turned 30 on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Is it your birthday, too, Jack?
Happy birthday, dudes.
It's our Dirty 30 golden birthday where we get to eat a unicorn.
Aw. Not the unicorn.
Cue music.
Patience is waning. I don't give a damn anymore. For 6 years I waited, angry and frustrated. I don't give a damn down. I've been held up and shook down. I've waited for you all the while.
My girl, I've been drifting from Raleigh to Reno. My blood summons me to the road. My luck's never good, but I what I could. I don't give a damn
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.